Greetings, everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. You've tuned in once again to Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. It is our sincere prayer and hope that God will use this program and this series that we're on to minister to you, to grow you so that you may be able to serve God in His kingdom and that we may be able to in turn reach others for Christ as we seek to serve Him and bring Him glory. We have been, through the last couple of months, we've been going through a series we've entitled The Pursuit of Christ. We are looking at a number of principles, not an exhaustive list, but a number of principles that will help us in our endeavor to pursue Christ, to make the pursuit of Christ our very passion and desire in life. We have already considered several principles. We looked at exaltation, the principle of love, the principle of following, and last week we ended the principle of sharing. And today we will start another principle, the principle of service. This principle will probably take us through 2 or 3 weeks before we end this principle and look at another one. But today we will start the principle of service. But before we start, let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We pray that as we consider what it is that you have to say to us, we may apply it, we may live it, so that in turn we may be found to be faithful ministers of the gospel, faithful servants of the kingdom, leading others to the foot of the cross so that they themselves may come to the saving knowledge of Christ. May we understand the importance of service and what this principle is all about. Not an optional command, but an absolute command that we should obey all the days of our lives that you've given us on this earth. We thank you for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this is probably one of those principles in which many people who have tuned in will shut us off before the program has ended, because it's one of those principles that makes us feel like we're responsible for something. We seem to think that somewhere along the line, God has given us the option to treat His word and His commands as a buffet. We can come in and pick and choose whatever it is that we want to do or not do, and that's it. As if God has given us that privilege. Little do we understand that, first of all, we're incapable of even fathoming who God is. Yet we pretend to somehow seem to imply that we are so much more intelligent, or at least we put ourselves in a position where we think we have the right to be arrogant enough to define what the faith is all about, and in some cases even tell God what it is that He meant to tell us in the first place. This is one of those principles in which our faith is going to be stretched. This is one of those principles in which the Holy Spirit is going to make us feel uncomfortable and in some cases guilty because of our failure to comply with many of the things that Christ has commanded. Now let me just preface the whole message by saying this. Christianity is not a religion, therefore it's not a list of do's and don'ts. God is not some cosmic killjoy who's in the business of making sure that life for you is tough and that you're forced into doing things that are bad. We must understand that at the end of the day, we ought to be prostrated thanking God for His grace in saving us and thanking God for the fact that there is a life to be experienced beyond anything we know. And we ought to be down on our knees thanking God for life, because life with Him is good. And it's even better when we obey everything He has to tell us or instructs us to obey. Obeying God and all the things that He commands us to do is the best thing that you can do for yourself. You understand that? When you obey God, you're not doing God a favor, you're doing yourself a favor. You're giving yourself the opportunity to taste the grace of God. You're giving yourself the opportunity to taste real life. You're giving yourself the opportunity to experiencing Him in the fullest sense of the word. So when God says that we ought to be a people who serve Him, He says it because He knows that if we do it, it's the best thing that we could do for ourselves. God doesn't say I ought to serve Him in spite of the fact that it's not good for me to do so. But that's how we act. We act like if we do something for God, God ought to actually fall on His knees and thank us. That's how arrogant the church has become. Little do we realize that, listen, if we take it to the most basic things, we have elevated ourselves onto a pedestal that seems to imply that we, not God, know what's best. And when we disagree with something God said, we'll write a book, and in that book we'll argue that God didn't really mean to say this, He really meant to say that. But in all of the wisdom we claim to have, in all of the knowledge we claim to have, and in all of the intellect we claim to have, the bottom line is that you can't even guarantee yourself your next breath. You claim to know better than God, but you can't do for a second or begin to think you can do for a second what God does, because He is God. Listen, service is a command. Service is a privilege. Service is something we do because when we serve God, we become better people. We become better citizens of the kingdom. We become better inhabitants of this earth. We begin to exemplify the characteristics of God. We begin to become less as God becomes more. There are several passages I want to look at. Some of these were late additions, but we'll look at these nonetheless just to create the framework for the rest of the message, a message that will actually last 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. I want to look at, first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. Fear the Lord your God, and by that it doesn't mean be afraid of Him, but revere, have reverence for the Lord your God. Listen, serve Him only, and take your oaths in His name. Listen, the Bible, all the way back into the Old Testament, begins the story of sanctification with the clear instruction that in that process, when we come into a right relationship with God, service is not optional, but service is beneficial. to us. Listen, can God accomplish things without me doing them? Sure. So therefore, if he can accomplish things he wishes to accomplish without me doing what he's asking me to do, why would he ask me to do it in the first place if he could do it anyway? Well, he does it because he knows that if I obey, I am the one who's at the benefiting end of the deal. God is no less God if I don't obey him. But I am conformed more to God if I do. And that's a benefit to me. Another passage that we can look at in relation to service is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24. Listen to what Paul said. Whatever you do, work it all with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, period. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Listen, we have been saved to serve. In fact, if you read many of the writings, or if you read the Gospels and the writings of the New Testament writers, you will find that in many cases, many of these writers or the apostles regarded themselves as servants or bondservants of God, slaves of God to God. Not in the term of slavery as we think of it in human terms, but in terms of becoming people whose passion is to serve because of the realization that we have in terms of what it took and who it took it to bring about our salvation. I want to serve God because he loves me. And I want to serve Jesus because he came into this world and died for me so that I might have eternal life. He was the ultimate, example of servant leadership. Here is the God of all creation, the God of the universe in human form, washing the feet of his apostles, his disciples, as an example for us to follow. And as a model of what servant leadership should look like. Listen. Another passage we can look at is Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and I'll start reading at verse 11 to keep the context. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. Now listen, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Listen, what the author of Hebrews is telling us here is, listen, we have been cleansed, washed by the blood of the Lamb so that we may have the privilege of serving the living God. Listen, it's not enough that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not enough to know that the one who died on the cross on which I should have died was God himself, the one who sustains the universe by speaking power. But Scripture actually tells me that I have the high privilege, because of the death of Christ and by virtue of my relationship to him, Scripture tells me that I have the high privilege to actually be a servant of the living God. Can you imagine? You could be out in the mission field, and by the mission field I mean literally down the street. You could be out in the mission field doing a work for God, and somebody may come up to you and say, "Who are you serving as you do this?" We have the grand privilege, folks. We have the grand privilege of saying, "I'm serving God." Literally. Can you imagine that? But service is not optional. It's a command. We are required to serve God for our own good, for our own benefit, and for the benefit of those whom we serve, whether it's by communicating the gospel, by feeding the poor, by helping the orphans, the widowed, by preaching the gospel. Service is not optional. The Bible tells us, though, that service should be done in certain ways. And we might be able to get a look at one or two of those. According to Scripture, and I'm going to turn to John chapter 12. According to Scripture, service should be sacrificial. Let's look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and I'll read verses 24 through 26. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it." Listen. "While the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And verse 26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Christ is saying that if we are going to serve, our service for Christ ought to be sacrificial. In verses 24 and 25, he says that if we are going to really experience life, we will first have to die. Verse 24 again. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Our service ought to be sacrificial. And according to Jesus, we must first die to self, die to sin, die to our old nature if we are going to live the life that God meant for us to live and experience all along. And verse 26 tells us that as we serve him sacrificially, it needs to be a daily commitment. Look again at verse 26. And I want to spend a little bit of time here. "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." I want to spend a little bit of time here because there's some truths that need to be unpacked. We won't say everything that needs to be said, but I just want to unpack a couple of truths. There are several implications made here by Jesus. Listen, if you're going to serve me, you must be one who follows me. If you don't follow me, though you think you're serving me, you're not. You understand that? And again, I make reference to this because this is an epidemic in the church today. There are many people out there who profess to be reverends and doctors and pastors and evangelists who claim to be in the service of the kingdom, yet don't follow Jesus. How do I know? Well, their lifestyles are completely and utterly inconsistent with the gospel. And not only is their lifestyle inconsistent with the gospel, much of what they preach is absolutely not only inconsistent, but in complete and utter contradiction to what Scripture teaches. Yet they do what they do in service for God. Well, they're not serving God, though they want you to think they're serving God. And even if they've reached the point where they think they're serving God, they have deceived themselves. You know why? Because they don't really follow Him. If they followed Him, they'd be obeying Him. For the Scripture says, if you love me, you will obey what I say. So it is clearly implied that if we are honestly and truthfully serving God, we must be a people who are by definition following Him as well. Service is defined by following. If we are following, we are really serving the true and living God. If we're not following, yes, we are serving, only not the true and living God. We're serving our own egos. We're serving ourselves. Oh, I could say a whole lot more, but I'm not going there right now. Another thing stated by Jesus here. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. By implication, if you want to be where Jesus is, you must be a servant. And if you want to know whether you are a true servant of the living God, then you will know by whether you are following me or not. If you want to be where I am, you must be a servant. And you are a true servant if you're following me. You're catching the thought process here? Then he says, my Father will honor the one who serves me. If you want to be honored by God, you must be a servant. If you want to be honored by God, you must be one who has made a conscious and deliberate decision to serve Christ and to thank Christ for the ability to even serve. When was the last time you, in your quiet time, said, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to serve you, rather than complaining for the fact that you're being asked to serve? Well, we've reached the end of this particular message. We will come back to part two next week. Father, we thank you and praise you. May we apply these principles so that we in turn may bring you glory. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, President of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher right here on Truth to Live By. I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for joining us every week as we together study God's inspired and inerrant Word. I want to take this opportunity right now to invite those of you who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to do so. All you have to do is repeat this simple prayer after me. Father, I understand and acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I understand that because of my sin, I am alienated from you. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that only through him can I be saved. I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would cleanse me and forgive me of all sin. Lord Jesus, right now I invite you to come into my heart and into my life and be my Lord. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that if you have prayed this prayer from the sincerity of your heart, you are now God's children. You have been given the free gift of eternal life, and your sins have been forgiven. And for those of you who have been listening to us and you are Christians, but you have been walking in a manner that is not consistent with the life that we are called to live as believers, this is the time that God has given you. This is the time in which God is calling you to recommit your life to him so that he may use you for his kingdom. I want to remind you that these programs can be ordered on CD. If you're ordering any of our programs, you need to send a written request and include in that written request the date on which you heard the program, the title of the program, if you happen to have that, and the call letters of the radio station on which you heard the program. I will be giving you our contact information at the end of the program. We do ask that you would include a suggested donation of $5 to help us with the cost of production, materials, and shipping and handling. I also want to remind everybody, this is a listener-supported ministry. The only way we stay on the air, continually proclaiming the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, is by the general contributions of listeners like you. Our entire budget is met by believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who believe that it is our mission to continue to carry out this work. I want to remind you also to invite your friends and family to join us each week as we continue this particular series entitled The Pursuit of Christ. Would you please contact us? You can write to us or send us an email. We have been very encouraged by many of the remarks that we have received by viewers and listeners to the radio and television program. God is truly ministering to them through this series. This is our contact information. If you want to send us an email, send it to truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. If you're writing to us to order any resources or programs, you can send your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227. And again, we want to thank you for joining us each week, and we certainly pray that you would continue to do so as we move through this particular series. Last item, I want to point you to our website, www.rffiministries.org. There you can find out a great deal about us and about our resources. God bless you, and we will see you next week.